Hello and welcome to the Bridges Church audio podcast. As you listen to this week's message, we hope that you will be inspired and encouraged in your walk with God. To find out more about Bridges Church, visit our website, bridgeschurch.co.nz, or find us on Facebook at Bridges Church, Cambridge, NZ.
Hey, good morning, church. Are we doing part two on this little series on going deeper with Jesus? And the clicker's not clicking. The call is, let us go on to maturity. And Adrian, I thought you did a great job on summarizing the sermon. Actually, I thought you improved it. There you go. Thank you. So we're just moving on. Last week was really well summarized by Adrian. And I just want to just take us further. So in a way, we're building up a picture of to gain understanding. And we used as our basis that verse in Hebrews 8:5. We're speaking of the priests who serve on earth. It says that who serve a copy and a shadow of heavenly things. So we're not just looking back to old history. We're actually realizing that in heaven these things do exist, and so they are for us a copy and a shadow that helps us to understand something that is. And so we're just trying to build up aspects of it. Now, because we are given salvation as a gift, that's what the grace, we're given by grace. It means we didn't earn it, we're given it. We need then to say, oh, okay, is there anything else that I should understand in this life of faith? Or is it just the gift? Now, we couldn't do anything without the gift, but there are other things for us to understand. And that's because we're in a lifetime of sanctification, for example. And we also live in a world that is under the influence of Satan. And so we need to be careful with our lives that we don't become entangled with the world. And we used that verse last week, the sin which so easily entangles us. So recognizing that, we're just taking some care to say, look, what are the things that are revealed for us that will help us? And that this is not for God, this is for us. So there's the plan of the tabernacle. I'm not sure if you can see all the writing. I can't read it from the back, so you probably can't read it at the front either. But you can see on the east side, the right-hand side, there was the door mentioned by Adrian. Then the next is the brazen altar of sacrifice. And today we're looking at the laver. It's the next piece on the way into the holy place, the brazen laver. The laver is a large washing bowl made of bronze. And I've clicked too far. I'll leave it there for a moment. It's mentioned in Exodus 38, verse 8. I'll read that. Moreover, he made a laver of bronze with its base of bronze from the mirrors of the serving woman who served at the doorway of the tent meeting. So there was an offering of mirrors. So in those days there was no glass mirrors, so you'd get bronze, very nicely made, beautifully polished, and that would be your mirror. And they were donated, and this was recast into a laver, a big bowl. And the priests had to stop there and wash their hands. And so we don't get too casual about this. I just want to read from Exodus 30, verses 17 through to 21. I haven't put it up on the screen. Exodus 30, verse 17. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, you shall also make a laver of bronze with its base of bronze for washing. And you shall put it between the tent of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it. Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet from it. When they enter the tent of meeting, they shall wash with water so that they will not die. And when they approach the altar to minister, by offering up in smoke a fire sacrifice to the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet so that they will not die, and it will be a perpetual statute for them, for Aaron and his descendants throughout their generations. So that's a specific command to Aaron, who's the priest, and his descendants. So it's not directly to us. However, it says, 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, we are a royal priesthood. So this is a type and a shadow for us. We can learn something from it. And we should note that Aaron had to obey this or he would die. That means there's some seriousness to it. So now what's the application for us? In the Bible, we see a connection between water and God's word. For example, there's two verses there, Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. And then said it in a different way, John 5, 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So there's the connection between washing, being clean, and the word. Now in the Greek, actually, there's a number of specific words for washing, and it doesn't always come out in the English. And those two words there really isn't the laver washing, because there's a whole of body wash. And those two verses I've got up behind me, the word for the whole of body wash is used. And that word actually isn't even the word for baptism, which is another word again. So when we're thinking about the laver, we're just washing hands and feet. So it's a bit more specific. But just so we can understand the whole of body wash, I put in Titus 3, 4 to 7. It's a good summary. But when the kindness of God, our Saviour, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that being justified by his grace, we would be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's a beautiful summary of the gospel, isn't it? And there in the middle, verse 5, it says, by washing, the washing of regeneration, lutron, if I'm pronouncing the Greek right, lutron, whole of body wash. So actually at salvation, you had a whole of body wash. And the Bible says clearly that that people should be saved and be baptized. And so the baptism is that identifying with Jesus and his death and his life. It speaks of body wash. But what we're talking about is a whole of body, the inner man. We're talking about inner man, using outward things to understand the inner man. Jesus also says, unless you are born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. But Adrian summarized so well. That's John 3, 5. So born of water, if you've ever wondered about that phrase, just think whole of body wash, done for you when you receive Jesus as your Saviour. We also sing sometimes, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So that takes our thoughts back to the brazen altar where the blood is shed. So you can see there's a connection between the laver and the altar and these concepts. There's no point in trying to go to the laver if you have never properly entered the door and been to the brazen altar. If you haven't received Jesus and been saved, you haven't had the whole of body wash. just doing your hands and feet then doesn't make you clean. Now, the other word for partial wash is not, obviously, lutron, but nipto. And we see this when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. We may refer to that later, but you remember that Jesus got down as a servant, and Peter said, "No, you won't wash my feet, Lord." And the Lord said, "Well, if I don't wash your feet, you'll have no part with me." And so then Peter said, "Oh, well, wash the whole of me then, do my head as well." And Jesus said, "He who has bathed," they chose another word, but it could be washed, "needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean." So this is that concept coming through. So in the Greek is, he who has bathed, luo, needs only to wash, nipto. So in the Greek there's two words to make it clear. And in English they found the word bathed. But you know, you could bathe a wound. The bathe doesn't necessarily mean whole of body wash, but the Greek word does. So if you, so the priests also would do a whole of body wash, but when they're coming in to minister, they're going to do a feet and hands wash. That's the laver. And he says, but not all of you, because in their midst was Judas. And even though Judas had been with Jesus, he went on to betray Jesus. So, the concept is, you need the whole of body wash, but then we're in a process of being made more like Jesus. That's the going on to maturity, a process of sanctification that won't stop until you die. But also we live in a world that can sully us. If you walk on a dusty road, then your feet will get dusty. So that's the example that Jesus was using. The feet wash, if you've got sandals and so forth and dust on your feet and you're coming into a clean house, then clean your feet and you can come in. It's that sort of thing. So, now with that in mind, let's just look at three aspects of the Word of God that apply. First one is, the Word of God is a mirror. In James it says, James 1:23, "For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was." So the point is clear that if we are looking and if we are seeing, if the word is telling us something about ourselves, the point is actually to pay heed to it. And it says of those, if you read on, I won't read it, but in James you read on verse 22, those who don't heed it, they delude themselves. And delude means to be false with yourself. I've got it sussed. You can tell yourself your stories, but if the Word of God is telling you something, don't delude yourself that it doesn't apply to you. So this is looking in the mirror. I was out one day. See, we're going out to a family event in Mount Maunganui, and one of the aunties said to someone else who was with me, "Oh, you've still got your rollers in your hair." And yep, one of us did. So, you know, you can fail to look in the mirror. Well, let's turn around another way. If you do look in the mirror before you go out and just check that everything's all right, then the injunction here is you need to look in the mirror of God's word. God's got things to say to us. Right, number two, the word is our judge. 1 Corinthians 11:31-32. "But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world." interesting verse. We recognize Jesus as Savior of the world, and we don't very often talk about him as judge. But he is also the judge. The Father has given all judgment to him. In 2 Corinthians 5, 9 to 11, I haven't put it on the board, but just listen. Paul is having to defend his ministry against people who have come into Corinth, and so he's speaking to the church in Corinth by letter, and he's saying something about his own motivation. 1 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 9. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. I'm trying to persuade you today. And we are made manifest, but we are made manifest to God. And I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. Paul made that comment because he's trying to say, hey, just think about what we did amongst you and how we lived our lives. And I hope that's shining in your conscience. So we now are to be shining proof of the life of Christ in us. And I'm saying shining because that manifest word has a sort of a sense of shine in it. So the fear of God is a good thing. Fear of man is a bad thing, but fear of God, because God behaves to us perfectly, is a good and necessary thing. So he's saying, knowing the fear of God. So I wonder how many of you get nervous before you go to an exam, or maybe you go for your license and you don't pass first time. Well, there's going to be a day where you stand before the Lord, and this day, if you're a Christian, doesn't determine whether you go to heaven or hell, because your salvation has already been secured by gift from Jesus Christ. However, God's very fair about these things. You are going to stand in judgment, and it'll be like, what have I done with what God has given me? The grace, the blessings, the forgiveness, the gifts, everything he's given me, what have I done with it? And I imagine that he won't say a word, but you'll know. And you'll probably experience his love, but there'll be a sense of, oh. Okay, so what he's saying is, and this is only fair, if some people who are outside of Christ, who maybe they're stubborn and they turn their back on him or they don't want to know, they are going to be judged. So God is fair. We also are going to be judged, even though we have salvation. So therefore, let the word judge you daily now. It's only fair. Let it. So don't be, oh, I'm like the guy on the chair. You know, that wasn't me. Lord, help me. Actually, you do need to sort of let, just knowing the love of God, you do need to let the word of God sift you. Sort you out. So I'm saying, oh, that wasn't me, but actually it was me. I wrote the skit, you know, and it's like we've got to be humble. So I'm actively asking God to judge me now. Get corrected now. A son, a true son, gets chastised by the Lord because it's for our good. So every day is a kind of like a judgment day. But it's not like I must try harder. No, not at all. That's not the way you should think about it. But I need to come to the laver, and I may have to come by the altar, because I need the life of Christ in all its aspects working in me. I'll give you an example. For some time, like since before Christmas, I've been short of funds. And just for business things, and you get future commitments and you think, I've got all this sorted, and then events come into your life to change things. New requirements, things you had to take care of, and you end up in a position and going, ah, I'm going to be short. And it's nothing really that farmers don't encounter and people in business encounter. You make proper good decisions, well, at least you think they were. and then things can happen. And it's just been playing out, and the longer it plays out, the less and less funds were available, and there were still future commitments. And to quote one of my friends, I was getting a little frayed around the edges. And last Monday, we needed to pay some bills. I work with other guys, and this other guy is his responsibility. He phoned me up to say, has this other funds came through? And I said, no, not yet, and it still hasn't come, even a week later. But the IRD was holding up a GST refund, $175,000. And, afterwards I thought my attitude wasn't right. But anyway, I was frustrated, and I just on the phone I prayed, Lord, I pray that you'd find someone in the IRD to deal with this and release the refund. And then I quoted to my friend, oh, there's a verse in Proverbs 21:1, even the king's heart is as channels of water in the Lord's hands. He can turn it whichever way he wished. So later on the day, I was just driving my car, and he phoned me up, and he said, the Lord has answered. And I said, what? The Lord, the money's in the account. The Lord has answered. So I felt convicted, actually, because sometimes I think God is gracious, but I don't think my attitude was quite right on it, and I was surprised that God answered. But sometimes God's merciful with us, maybe. It's better to pray with a good heart. Anyway, so then that incident and the reflection on myself is like, oh, okay, I need some washing at the laver around this. So on Wednesday, that was the 1st of May, I read Psalm 1. Just sat there to spend time with the Lord. This is like an example of laver time, washing at the laver. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. You know, in the skit, that person was not even dreaming that he might be like that, but I wouldn't rule out that God would speak to you from those verses. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Well, you can turn to that. You can delight in the law. And in his law he meditates day and night. That is a real laver verse. Aaron had to sacrifice a lamb in the morning and a lamb in the evening. So he had to wash morning at the laver and evening. And here it is, his delight is in the law of the Lord. We know that the word is our washing agent. And in the law he meditates day and night. Okay, so you can now, if you're not doing this already, you can now set up a washing time, morning and night. Just come to the word. And Psalms, Becky did it wonderfully as well. The Psalms are great. I just started with 1st of May, I went to Psalm 1. This morning, 5th of May, Psalm 5. That was great too. But probably don't have time to look. But so there you can wash yourself, hands and feet, sort out your attitude. Okay? See how it works. Oh, okay. What really encouraged me? All right. I have trusted God in my life, you know. And so what's happening is I'm being stretched. So it says this last part of verse 3, and whatever he does, he prospers. That's not a scouting verse. That's like, just sit quietly with the Lord and say, thank you, Lord. You're promising that a righteous man, and our righteousness comes from him, and we're not claiming anything for ourselves, but there is a place you can get to and you can go, thank you, Lord, I'm going to prosper. I'll give you a little bit more detail. Friends of mine, and I work with a business colleague, we have a house to sell in Warkworth, and we lost two contracts on it because of problems on the LIV that we weren't aware of until the buyer's lawyer found it. So we lost two. Settlement in June. I had a commitment in June to pay. Lost it. So that you'd go, oh, wow, okay, so it's still June, but how am I going to fund it? And then another business colleague rang up and said, hey, those sections that we're contracted to buy in June. I've had a talk with the developer. I won't name the developer, but God bless them. And the developer agreed to delay settlement until the 1st of December this year. See, so you never know. Like, you might be saying, oh, I need money, Lord, but actually maybe the Lord will just delay an expense, or he will bless you. And, you know, you don't know how God's going to provide, but you need to go, okay, Lord, I don't see the answer, but I don't want to be frayed at the edges either. So I'm coming back to your word and going, okay, I'm just going to live in that. Everything he does will prosper. As it says here, verse 5, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. Here's judgment coming up again. Nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. So when it says that, the wicked won't stand, it implies that the righteous will stand. We will stand in the day of judgment. We should be very thankful about that because it's a gift. And then it says, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows. He knows your situation. He knows where you're at. He knows what's making you frayed and saying, hey, come and wash your hands and your feet. Just let my word wash over you for a while. Because I know you. Okay, the third is it cleanses us, which we've been talking about. And those verses we have already quoted. I don't think I'll elaborate that. Oh, yes, I will. What's not on the screen in Ephesians 5:27, that we are washed by the cleansing of water so that he may present to himself, Jesus talking about the church, present to himself a church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle. Laver washing is getting rid of the spots. That's the way I'm thinking of it. So each of us have our job to get rid of the spots so that we'll be presented to him. So in summary, and we're going to get to a little bit more application. The word at the laver, the water at the laver is the word. It's a mirror, it's a judge, it's a washing agent. It's a very, very good washing agent. Now, Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. It can get right down into places that you don't even know about. And able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So in that skit, you saw Damien gently probing proud Douglas. It was a lovely thing, actually. We are not to judge other people's thoughts and intentions, but sometimes there's an outward, you can see something outwardly and you know something's going on. So there's Damien praying for proud Douglas and then probing. And Douglas is fending him off with his little comments and things. But we should never think that all our thoughts and intentions are pleasing to God. He's gonna point some things out to us. Came across a quote, I haven't put it on there, but it's Bill Clemens, Caleb's dad. People never let the Bible get in the way of their opinions. Yeah, it makes you laugh, and it's a little bit cynical in a way, but unfortunately it's a bit true as well, which is a tragedy. God is not impressed by my opinions or yours, can I say? Are you willing that God would challenge your opinions? Let the word of God challenge your opinions. This is the sort of thing that happens. You go to the word, you see something, you go, oh, okay, I'm a bit grubby in that area. Okay, Lord, wash me. I agree with you, Lord. Now, this story of, it's a narrative recounting what really happened. Jesus with the disciples, he girded himself as a servant, wrapped them around, and he got down and he washed their feet. And the definite message from that is nobody who's a servant in the kingdom of God is greater than his master. any leader, any whatever status you think you may have, you are a servant. Gird yourself to serve like a slave. That's it. But there's a second application there, and John 13 it is. Just wanted to bring it out. Nearly about to finish, but I think this is quite precious, and it'll be good to see it function in the life of this church. So verse 12, he says, "Do you know what I have done to you?" It's a good question to let Jesus ask you and me. Do you know what he has done for us? Really good to ponder it. And then he goes on, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." And I just wanted to make a connection. In that skit, Damien was trying to wash my feet. That's the way I look on it. So we think, oh, this means we serve one another. And yes, it does mean that. But if you're thinking now about the washing of the laver, sometimes you might say, come on, bro, let's go to the laver. And in the skit, Damien was just probing away, getting me. And he was a bit like Nathan, the prophet Nathan with Davis. He got me to a verse where you go, aha, you're not worried about being wise in your own eyes, but the word of God is condemning you. And you can think about that. If you are alive, if you're at your laver morning and night, you will have something to share. Maybe you'll just think, oh, I'll just share. And you can just share in such a humble way and saying, hey, God spoke to me on this. You share it with a brother, and the brother goes, oh, that's good. You've just washed your brother's feet, sister's feet. It's life. It's life in the family, life in the body. Person on their own can't do that. Sometimes someone, maybe they just haven't got round to it, morning and night. It's easy to miss a night, easy to miss a morning. Things happen. But if that was part of the life of the church, then, you know, the spots will be washed away. Do you want one more story? So, I've actually had some of my frayed edges taken away, but I was driving to an appointment. Actually, Crispin and I were going to, like elders, as elders, to pray. And I was late. And on Victoria Road, come off the motorway, and there's two lanes going through, and it's still 80. Even through the lights, it's still 80. And so I was sort of pressing behind a lot of cars that were passing a truck, and I didn't want to be stuck behind the truck. But the merge lane after the lights is quite short, and I got myself in, but I couldn't believe how slow the cars were in front. They should have just run on. They weren't even doing 50, and it's an 80 area, and so I was tailgating the guy in front, and the truck might have been a bit annoyed because I kind of, you know, there wasn't a, I'm making all my excuses why I was there, but it starts by being late and hassled. I end up between the truck and the car, and then the guy in front brake checked me. He didn't like me tailgating him, I guess. I was just trying, you know, just want to let him run away, but the... And I got a fright. I mean, I had to slam on the brakes. You know, he gave me, you know. And then the truck had to do the same. He got a fright too. He backed right off. And I'm on the way to pray for somebody, you know. And we got up to the roundabout near the center of town. There's two lanes. He was going on into town and I was going to take the low bridge. And so we had a look. As well, I looked at him. He was looking at me. He wasn't impressed with me. I didn't give him any signs or anything. Don't think that. Anyway, I had read this. Is anyone among you sick? So this is James 5:13. So we're going to pray. Then he must call to the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So before we prayed for healing, we had a little bit of laver time. You know, I just shared that and said I was a bit of a dope. And you just need to slow down, don't push on, you know. Be kind to your fellow motorists. Attitudes there. You know, we were mature of a sort, Christians. Like we are, you know, we're older. But we know that pride can get into your heart, or fear of man, or all sorts of things can clutter us. So we just had a time of confessing these things between each other. We respect each other, but it's also good to be able to just do that, to confess our sins one to another, and then we prayed. It was a lovely time of fellowship. And if there's something I would like in this church to flourish, it would be that we would do that. It's not easy to confess your sins one to another, you know. But you wouldn't want to think that the people who are up the front are perfect. We are not. And if someone comes to the front in tears, praying, don't look and go, oh, they must have done something terrible. They may be way ahead of you. And the Lord may be dealing with something that you're not even open for the Lord to tell you about, but it's present in you. So we don't judge anyone else. And could I say something as well? If you come up and pray, if you're praying with someone like that, don't counsel them. I'm saying that because I've seen it. Don't counsel them, because the Holy Spirit has already counseled them and they're at the front with tears. Just pray with them in a humble way, knowing that if it applies to them, it probably applies to you as well. So here we are together, not thinking we're something, not boasting of anything, because all that we have is given us by God. Right, so that's it for today, but we're just making our way. If we're just looking down at the structure, you know, this tabernacle goes with us everywhere we are. So this is just the structure for us to think about it, but we're making our way towards the Holy of Holies. It's the place where God intended to meet with us. Heavenly Father, thank you that you've done all for us. You've placed us in a body, and you've given us instruction. I pray you'd help us as we wash at the laver, so that we truly can come into your presence and receive revelation and have fellowship with you in that most holy place. Everything we have of eternal value you have given us, and we want to honor you in that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, church.